Welcome to Word of Hope Ministries. Bible teacher Perry Stelter has been in ministry for over 10 years with Indigenous and non-Indigenous people seeking biblical reconciliation. His passion is making the Bible come alive. As Perry's wife, I, Angie, have seen God set the direction for this ministry since day one. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now here's Bible teacher Perry Stelter.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a wonderful day today. Let's go to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer before we begin our message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for all the listeners. I pray that you would lead and guide us into truth and show us the way we should go as we take a look at your word. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be taking a look at the whole topic of power. But we're not going to be talking about any ordinary source of power. When we look at the world, people want power, and people want power over other people, and this can lead to abusive relationships or the abuse of power. Today, the power we're going to be talking about isn't the kind of power that the world is used to talking about. The power we're going to talk about today is a spiritual type of power that only comes from God the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Another wonderful insight that we're going to learn today is that in addition to this power coming directly from God, it is a power that primarily works itself in and through the church. That's right, my brothers and sisters, in and through the church. We're going to be taking a look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And as I stated last time, in part one of this message, that Paul is speaking from prison. He's probably on house arrest. This letter is meant as a cyclical type of letter that was meant to be spread from church to church. And the main topic under the topic of power that we're going to be taking a look at today is the overwhelming love of Jesus Christ. That's right, my brothers and sisters, the overwhelming love of Jesus Christ. And so let's start with our passage today. "For this reason I kneel before the Father." Paul says, "For this reason," at the beginning of chapter 3, and he says it again here in verse 14. And in both places, it means that because the Jewish people and Gentiles have the same Father, he is solidifying the fatherhood of God within the household of God. We were once far off from God, but now we are a family of God by the Spirit of God. We have access to the Father through prayer. And so in Christ, we have boldness and access to this Father. And so this is how Paul approaches God, the Father, through prayer. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." And so a couple other things going on here, in addition to all of us now having the same Father, is that Paul is showing his reverence for God when he's talking about kneeling before the Heavenly Father. Yes, we can pray to God with any position, physical position. Yes, we can pray to God as we're driving down the road. Yes, we can pray to God as we're even sitting in front of the television set, even as the television is playing out loud. We can pray to God. We can pray as we're riding our bikes down the street, driving our motorcycle down the road. What Paul is getting at here is that he's having a reverence for his Heavenly Father, that he's not just coming to him in some laid-back fashion, but he's coming to his Heavenly Father in reverence and submission and awe. And then he goes on to say, "I pray that out of his glorious riches." And so what are the glorious riches being talked about here? Well, one commentator showed me a comparison here. He states that the unbelieving world, when they pray for things like health and marriage and jobs and food. And those are good things for us as believers to pray about. But he's saying that that's where the prayers stop when the world prays. But we are praying as believers in Jesus Christ. We are praying out of his glorious riches. And so what does that mean? Well, we can't go into a full description of that, but I can give a few examples. When we take a look at Colossians 1:27, it says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And so Paul is talking about here in Colossians that the glorious riches are the fact that Jew and Gentile now share the same hope. They share the same partnership. And remember when I was talking about this in part one, I said that based on the historical context of when Paul was writing this, the Jewish people were placed on a higher plane, religious plane, than the rest of the world, because they are seen as God's chosen people. But although it is referred to in the Old Testament that the Gentiles are going to share in the promise of the Messiah, they didn't know how that was going to look. Paul is explaining how that is looking. That the church that is now being started based on the finished work of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising again and going back to the right hand of the Heavenly Father and leaving the Holy Spirit as a comforter, as a guide, Jews and Gentiles now share in the same promise. And so that is the hope of glory. And so as we're spending eternity in heaven, we are going to be glorifying in the fact that all people of all nations are in the family of God in heaven, and we're all rejoicing and serving God and glorifying God together. And so that's more of a spiritual aspect of the riches of Christ. Let me give you another example. Paul, when he's talking to the Philippians in Philippians 4:19, says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus." And so here we have a very practical way these riches are seen. Paul was given everything he needed with regards to material needs to do the work that he was called to do. Paul is saying here these words, he is specifically referring to the finances that this church gave to Paul to do the work that he was called to do. But I think we need to be careful here. This isn't a verse to proclaim the prosperity gospel. All that is going on here is the fact that this church specifically provided Paul with the finances that he needed. And Paul was saying, God will supply every need of yours. And he was referring to his own needs as well, because he was speaking from experience, that God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And so in essence, Paul says that his glorious riches are what God does when he answers our prayers in proportion to his infinite resources of God's glory to meet every true need. That God will answer and supply that need according to God's unlimited resources. So that's the best way to sum up what his glorious riches are in Christ.
In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, 'cause I want to know you more. More and more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more.
verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. When we look at the word dwell in the original language, the word dwell means to settle down and make your home. Just as Jesus Christ dwells in your heart when you become a believer, he will settle down and make his home in your heart. In the same way, Jesus Christ wants you to settle down and make your home in the church. He doesn't want your life to be based on just you believing in Jesus Christ by itself, but he wants you to settle down in the church. Find a local church to settle down in, because that's where God does his greatest work. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Here we have Paul using language that continues to solidify this line of thinking, that he wants us to be rooted and established in love, which is a continuation of settling down in the church. So when we make our home in the church and become rooted and established in love, then we as individuals and as a body of Christ will start to see the power of Christ working. And then when we start to see the power of Christ working, we will start to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is this love of Christ. Planning in itself will not transform a church. It is the love of Jesus Christ working in your hearts and then working in the church that will transform a church. It starts with the individual, then it moves to the church, and then from the church to the community. And it's all based on the overwhelming power of God through the overwhelming love of Jesus Christ.
Love is deep. Your love is high, your love is long, your love is wide, your love is deep, your love is high, your love is long, your love is wide again, your love is deep, your love is high, your love is long. Love is wide, your love is deep, your love is high, your love is long, your love is wide, your love is deeper than my view of grace, higher than this worldly place, longer than this road I travel, wider than the gap you fill, deeper than my view. Your love is.
And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so when we read verse 19, along with the previous two verses, we see that being filled with the fullness of God that comes at the end of this passage means what he just stated just before that. Being filled to the fullness of God means that we would be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And this love surpasses all knowledge. That is part of the power of God working through Jesus Christ. This power surpasses all knowledge. And so the application that we have here today is not your typical application where Paul is asking us to go out and do something. No, notice the language that has been going on here. Paul uses words like praying along with words such as grasping, knowing, being strengthened, being established, being filled. And so this means before you jump to the conclusion of any specific application here of what you need to run out and go and do, Paul wants you to just let it sink in and let it soak in. Paul wants you to read this passage and then sit back and let it sink in and allow yourself as an individual to be overwhelmed by the power and love of Jesus Christ. And then after you've done that, then that moves forward to an application that comes out of you experiencing just that. And so I don't know if you remember me saying this, but I was saying in part one that Ephesians is divided into two parts. Chapters 1-3 is Paul presenting theological doctrinal truth, and chapters 4, 5, and 6 is the application where Paul telling you how to live out what he has been telling you in the first three chapters. Now here's verses 20-21, which is seen as a doxology. And so this doxology is where Paul praises God for his ability and his power, giving glory in the church. And so nothing can stop this power. Paul is celebrating the sovereignty of this power. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This power is in us as believers, and this power is demonstrated in the church with all the glory going to the Father. This Father who is Father of us all. This power surpasses anything you may ask about or even think about or even be afraid to ask about. This power will surpass all of that. It's much more than you could ever imagine.
Satisfied. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. And I wait. And I wait. So I wait for you. Oh,
And to summarize what we've gone through in verses 1 to 21 in parts 1 and 2, Paul was specifically reaching out to the Gentiles because he wanted them to know that the gospel message, as expressed in and through the church and Jesus Christ, was not just for the Jewish people, but was for all people and all nations. Paul's suffering was for the glory of this ministry to the Gentiles and for the glory of God. Paul then prayed that we would understand how much Jesus Christ loves all people and how deep that love is. Then when Paul prays that we would grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is, then when we start to grasp how intense the love of Jesus Christ is, this love of Christ will start to overwhelm us. This is the power of God through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And understanding this and putting it into application, it all starts with praying and knowing. When we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the love of Jesus Christ, then that is what will transform any idea or plans that you have as an individual or as a member of the body of Christ in the local church. All the different boards that are existing right now in all the different churches across our nation, those individuals need to be overwhelmed by the love of Jesus Christ and then encourage the members of their churches to also experience the same thing. And then this will create the domino effect, and then watch out and see what God will do. And it won't be because of you. It'll be because of the power of God being so powerful, being so sovereign, that He wants to do over and above anything that we could imagine or think about. And so may God help us all with this challenge that is before us. Let me pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you. I kneel before you. I come to you in submission and humility, and I say we as individuals need you and the church needs you. I pray that you would help us to understand this, what Paul is talking about here, that if we spend more time on our knees praying and truly grasping how wide and long and high and deep this love is, that if we allow that to transform us first, then we can be in a position to see where you want us to make specific moves. Help us, Lord, with this challenge before us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word of Hope Ministries with Bible teacher Perry Stelter. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. For more information, go to wordofhopeministries.ca.